Hi, Gunnerton Armstrong. Have you ever sat down and wondered what religion is all about? I mean, what are all of these people trying to tell you on radio and television? All of the preachers, the evangelists, all of the people that talk about getting saved and about the Lord Jesus and about heaven and hell and what happens when you die and about souls going to heaven. Surely, no matter what your age, you've contemplated at one time or another this whole puzzle of what human life is all about, what happens when we die. Doesn't it somehow seem a little bit strange, especially as you get up into the later middle age, maybe you're an elderly person on Social Security, that you've gone through all of the experiences of life, you've been through the heartache and the suffering, the loss of loved ones, pain, sickness, financial disaster, we all have at one time or another. And every bit of the experience you've accumulated, every bit of the knowledge and the wisdom you may have come to possess, every bit of the education you may remember, everything you've read is aimed toward one ultimate goal, and that is retirement. The whole subject of retirement ought to be discussed, actually, sociologically. The whole concept that a person ought to work for a certain number of years at some mundane, humdrum job like an assembly line, and then be farmed out with a little kind of an office party, the proverbial 10-carat gold-plated watch, and be told, well, Harry, it's been nice knowing you these last 30 years, and have a good life. Of course, he goes out to buy a little chicken farm and dead of a heart attack about 4 days later, but so the story goes. Military men put in 20, 30 years, retire, go out to the farm they've always wanted to buy, and a few days later die of a heart attack. You've heard the story so many, many times. What is this concept that we work a certain number of years at a job we probably don't like, wish we didn't have to do, for a salary we feel is absolutely inadequate, and then eventually we retire? Now, I live in a retirement kind of a village. Probably half or more of the people around me are retired. The other day, when I was finishing up a round of golf, somebody said, oh, so-and-so had a heart attack the other day. It reminds me of the Bill Cosby record. If I goes back to visit a loved one, and everybody's sitting around in the rocking chair in the screened-in front porch, and one of us saying, you hear about old Harry? Oh, what happened? Oh, he died. Oh, is that right? Oh, yeah, died the other day, yeah. Wife Emma died, yeah, and then Gertie died. Oh, yeah, and then her cousin, uncle, first cousin, brother, sister, several, oh, a whole family, all of them died, yeah, all gone now. You know, you hear people go on like that because an awful lot of people are sitting around waiting to die. And when you retire, that's all in the world you're really doing. Oh, you're trying to fill in the time with bingo and dancing and movies and going to the club and being with the fellas or the gals. And of course, the jokes get a little more risque with some of the gray hair. People are known to go around bussing one another on the mouth, a little bit happy during happy hour in the local watering hole. But you know, when it's all over, we hear these people, one elderly gentleman I know, telling me recently about how his wife died and he's left all alone, and the poor guy is not going to be long for this world. What's it all about? Why? What is this whole thing of human retirement? And isn't it strange that in the mind of many, many people, all of these years put in gaining experience, hopefully increasing in knowledge and wisdom, are really, in a sense, wasted years. In other words, all of your productivity is behind you at a certain point, maybe age 65. You're no good anymore. You're like the old sway-backed horse, and the owner can't stand the idea of sending you off to the glue factory. You know, society doesn't just knock people in the head at age 65. And so, like old horses that can't run the races anymore, they simply put them out to pasture, and there they stand, kind of eating grass, sway back, hip shot, waiting to die. It's against the law, of course, in our societies, although some modern societies in our recollection have followed the policy of doing in some of the elderly. But ancient pagans actually thought that when, and I speak of some African tribes, that when a member of the tribe became no longer able or capable of doing work and of contributing to the welfare and the general productivity or the advancement of the tribe that they were simply done away with, and that was the end of them. When they could no longer get around, they became feeble. They literally did knock them in the head. Now, of course, our society is far more enlightened than that. That is a ghastly concept we could never abide. But isn't it time you began to wonder about this retirement concept? For example, what about some of our great generals of past military experience? I remember very well having a dinner with General Omar Bradley, talking to him a couple of times in my office and spending a number of hours with that gentleman. Of course, he's dead now, but he was in retirement at that time. Now, Admiral Hyman Rickover, you know, he was well up there. He was getting well along in years, and he was still able to shake his fist at Congress and tell people the straight of it, and he was pretty crusty. They had a hard time trying to get rid of him. I imagine there were dozens of people that wanted to retire Rickover before he was last heard from. But isn't it strange when you stop to think about it, there is not some sort of a brain trust, some kind of a system in various corporations and businesses and organizations, civic clubs, veterans, groups, whatever, where there is more than just rehashing the past and sitting around and chomping on a pipe stem and having your third martini and talking about the good old days and kind of looking for the Social Security check and waiting to die, but where there is solid contribution, where these people of that age are engaged in teaching the younger generation, in passing on what they know, in being consultants or advisors to business and commerce and industry. But instead, they're put out to pasture. Now, what I'm leading to is, isn't it stupid? Isn't it a crazy concept that the Bible would tell us this, that we must, and I'm quoting now from Romans 5:3, glory in tribulation. The Bible says we must glory in tribulation. How do you glory, exult, rejoice in a time when you're in trouble, when you're having tribulation and trials and temptations and heartache and suffering and physical and spiritual abuse? Jesus said it is through much tribulation we must enter into the kingdom of God. Now, what is this tribulation? Well, Peter said that it's the trying of your faith that does something. It works patience. Now, the Bible talks about the qualities of character, of patience, and goodness, and all of this. Let's look at one scripture in Romans 5 where it speaks of this. It says, speaking of Jesus Christ, we have access to him, you know, by faith, it says in verse 2, into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation works patience. Well, patience to do what? Wait around to die? Patience to endure arthritis when you're 80? Not really. It goes on to say, and patience, experience, meaning if you have patience and you endure, well, you become experienced. You're not headstrong. You're not given to tantrums. You're no longer a youthful person who can become completely irresponsible and berserk maybe in some emergency. You've got the patience to tough it out. And experience, hope. And hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit that is given unto us. The Bible continually talks about testing the metal of Christians. That's M-E-T-T-L-E, metal. It means testing the stuff of which you're made, trying your character. Does it make any sense to you at all that this Christian life, which is described as a life of trials, troubles, and tests, where we're supposed to learn to grow, to overcome, and how Jesus said to grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ, and how we're to be overcomers, and he said, be ye therefore perfect. Perfect at doing what? Well, the way you've heard it from the churches of this world, Jesus would have been saying, become ye therefore perfect at being lazy, perfect at retirement, perfect at just waiting out all eternity. Isn't that the plan? Isn't that the program that you've always heard of? Heavenly retirement? Don't you hear of it as a rest? Have you ever sat around, depending upon your age, of course, I mean, older people, maybe they can sit longer than younger, I don't know, but you ever sat around so long, maybe you got engrossed in a book or got engrossed in a television program, and you got up, and I mean, you just ached all over. You said, man, I've been sitting here too long, I've got to get up and do something. You can sit around so long your old bones begin to ache and you get tired. I want to tell you here and now that the Word of God does not say that salvation is Christian retirement. God has not called His people to suffer and to endure and to learn patience and to go through trials and tribulations and heartache and suffering and cold and misery and denial and deprivation and hatred and persecution and all the other things the Bible promises the faithful. And then at last, when it's all over, to retire. Like the song that says, it envies, you know, the old sun that does nothing but roll around heaven all day. Wouldn't that be marvelous? Just sit around, blow smoke rings at one another, you know, kind of lie back on your cloud. Ho-hum, I wonder which kind of harp music I want to shuffle through today. Pluck on the harp over there, Bessie. Ah, forget it. I got tired of it the last 3,670,942 times you played that same dumb tune, Bessie. You imagine a pair of old folks sitting up in heaven playing the same harp music for humpteen billion, 16 trillion million kajillion quadrillion billion times. You talk about bored nonsense. Some of you people can get absolutely driven out of your skulls by hearing a third of the way through one record that's called punk rock. How would you like to sit around and listen to harp music for a million years? Somebody's been lying to you. The Bible very clearly shows that Almighty God is training. He is putting through their paces. He is giving the practice and the hard, tough, rigorous training a group of specially called out ones for a great purpose of building, of inventing, of construction, of education, of development, of actually creating on this earth a utopian, splendiferous, monumentally successful system of governing all of humankind and eventually all of Godkind. He is calling a group of people into His kingdom, which is to be a global governing entity, the very world-ruling government or kingdom of Almighty God, and He is training and calling experts. This human physical life is nothing more than boot camp for eternity. It's nothing more than primary training for the kingdom of God. God does not intend that you retire. He intends when you become one of the very family of God that you go to work, that you get busy, that you have challenging, tremendous opportunities and things to do. Remember, it says in Revelation 2:26, to him that overcometh will I give power over the nations. It does not say in Revelation 2:26, to him that overcometh will I give heavenly retirement. Why do the churches tell it that way? Because they just don't know. They don't know the real gospel. They don't know what is the kingdom of God. They don't know what Almighty God is promising the human race. If you write for my booklet, The Real Gospel, what is the gospel? What does it promise? And what is this work you have come in contact with? What is this voice you're hearing right now all about? Write for my booklet, The Real Gospel. And if you want to find out what I am all about and what I am trying to do, and those who are supporting these programs, then request this booklet called The Work of the Watchman. The Work of the Watchman. What is the Watchman? That famous prophecy of the 9th chapter and again in the 33rd chapter of the book of Ezekiel. Until next time, Garner Ted Armstrong saying goodbye, friends.